And praise the Lord, everybody. Are you glad you're in the house of God tonight? Oh, hallelujah. God is so, so, so good. Praise God. You know, I appreciate Calvary Gospel Church more than you'd ever know. Every time I come into the house of God to have prayer, there's always a request, pray for Bishop. You know, I'm still having problems getting used to hearing Bishop here now, because I had served on the general board 17 years, and also now I'm an honorary member of the board. I'm called Bishop there, but in the atmosphere here, or the setting here, I've been called Brother Grant or Pastor Grant so long, and people still say Pastor Grant, and they apologize. But I do want you to know that while I do respect Pastor Roy as our senior pastor, he understands. He and I have had a great relationship going for a long, long time. And he understands if somebody calls me pastor, that's not reflecting against him at all. He preached a great message this morning. Yes. Praise God. I understand that Brother Ward Meyer is here tonight in the congregation. Here he is back here. All right. Yeah, he just had his aorta worked on. They went over to Napa and picked up a heater hose and two clamps and opened him up and put it in there. Isn't it amazing what they can do to the body? I'm telling you. Praise God. I'm just holding out on any more surgery until they perfect brain transplant. See, I wanted them to transplant a new brain. One that's already well-educated and smart. Oh, my. Praise God, praise God. You know, I'm going to let you be seated. I'm seated here at the table. And I didn't know for sure if I could stand up long enough to minister. Just been having very severe back problems again. And then I got neuropathy in my feet and lower legs and a lot of pain. I spend about 2 hours in the bed every night, and the rest of the time I split it between two recliners. And because when I'm horizontal, that's when I have more pain. But I really thank the Lord. You know, God is my healer. I'm still believing for a healing of this. It's just, you know, this back problem has been going on for 10 years. That's a long time. I never thought much about it when the Bible says concerning the holy city, no more pain. And lately I've been thinking about the holy city, no more pain. Hebrews 11, you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to. Hebrews 11 talks about Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses. And then it talks about people who were not delivered, who did not see what they wanted to see. But they died in the faith. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but there will be a day in which something will come your way in which you will not be healed from. And now, I'm not checking out. But I have always been a person that I set goals, even when I was a teenager. If I were working, I would set goals to get that work done and try to beat that goal. Down through the years, I've done that in my ministry. And one thing I told God several times after I gave my heart to the Lord, now, I want to have a good, full ministry. I'm going to give it my best. But I don't care to outlive my ministry. In other words, I want my ministry to continue until the day I draw my last breath. Praise God. A lot of people live their life and they have a lot of regrets. But I do have some, but I have few regrets. And God has been so good to Sister Gran and I. Just one thing. I want Sister Grant to live longer than me because I don't know what I would do if she didn't take care of me. Oh, my. What a sweetheart. What a sweetheart. Proverbs, the third chapter. And I just want to read and minister. I may just talk tonight. I miss the pulpit from the standpoint of just ministering and talking. Now, Pastor Roy's had me on the schedule every month several times, and it comes up time for me to preach, and I just can't do it. Brother Thomas is the backup tonight. Now, if I get halfway through and I fall out up here, Brother Thomas is going to have to come. And he, in order to make the message complete, he's not going to use his notes. He's going to use my second page. Let's look at this. Don't you love the Word of God? Oh, my. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace shall be added to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Pastor Roy this morning talked about Deuteronomy 28. Now, I had planned on, in fact, he had two examples, Noah and Job, which I had in my notes, and then Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, if you get a little bit discouraged, read it. But on the other hand, while it does promise a lot of good things, God promises to take away a lot of good things if you don't obey the commandments of the Lord. And I remember 30 years ago I preached a message. Now I'm guessing at 30. 30 years ago I preached a message and I titled it, All for 50 Bucks. And I talked about making a check of $500. And God says, give me 50. And I read Deuteronomy 28, went through there. You get all of those benefits for 50 bucks. Well, that's quite a deal, isn't it? It's quite a deal. But the big question is, why will some people not cash in on a deal like that? Now let's go on down. Verse 4, thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, this is not the only place that God promises in the scripture that if you obey, this is what he's going to do. And yet, you know, I had an uncle had a billy goat, and he had kind of a board that looked almost like a bat. Maybe it was a little bat that the kids played baseball, or what they simulated baseball. He probably used a rubber ball. And that goat would come up to butt him, and he'd hit that goat, and that goat would come back, and he'd hit him, and he'd hit him, and he'd hit him, and he'd hit him. Now, why he kept doing this, I don't know if it was hurting him. He'd step on, he'd shake his head. I think of some Christians, you know. Like God says, no, you can't. Try again. God says, look, this doesn't work this way. Run up and let the Lord just knock the daylights out of you again. You know, God loves you. You know that? I mean, he loves you. Now, the thing about it is, the Bible tells us, you know, the way of the world is, if you show me, I'll believe. But the way of God is, you believe me, and I will show you. See. So when the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now when we say trust in the Lord, the word trust is found in the Old Testament 152 times. In the New Testament, it's translated faith or belief more than trust. But it literally means to take refuge, to lean on, to roll on, to stay upon. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to change how we normally say this. We normally say, can I trust God with my life? But I'm going to say it different. It means approximately the same thing, but it's going to be a little, it hits you a little bit harder. And what I'm doing, I'm changing it to this. Can God be trusted with my life? See, sometimes we don't look at it that way. We like to take the blame, and it's okay. But on the other hand, it's really a matter of if God says that I should honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of my increase, do you believe that God knows what he's saying? Do you actually believe that God would tell you something and then sit back and laugh when it didn't work out? No. But why is it? First thing we do when we have a financial problem is we stop honoring God with our tithes and offerings. I've had people say, well, I'll catch up with it later on. Later on never comes. Isn't that right? So what God is saying is that if you have financial problems, here is the way to get out of that. And the way you get out of it is that you say, God, I trust you with my life. You've probably heard me tell the story many times. When we moved to Madison almost 43 years ago, our son Steve had a kidney disease, and I had just gone off of Christmas for Christ support, which they didn't pay a lot, not enough for my family to live on. I was finishing some houses that I had started and needed the money. But when I got here, I had medical bills. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? I went down in the basement of our house, and I lay before the Lord. I prayed. I sought God. And the Lord told me, now here is how you get out of debt. You give your way out. I said, Lord, you got to be kidding. It's like God says, can you trust me? Do you believe that I know what I'm talking about? Well, when we came here, the church had built on Milwaukee Street, and the building cost a little bit more than what we thought, and the individual families in the church had gone over to the bank and borrowed money and made personal loans and gave it to the church. And, you know, needless to say, the church is not going to help us much. Not that they don't want to. It's just they don't have the ability to. And I said, but Lord, I don't. What am I going to do? So I sat down with Sister Grant. I said, let's make a budget. Here's what we do. First, we pay our tithing. And the church at that time had above my tithing. So all of the wage earners of our church were paying 1.5 times, or 15%. So we put down 15%. And then we put down everything that we took an offering for. Cheese for Christ, Christmas for Christ, Mother's Memorial, Sunday school, everything. We put it down. Did we give much? No. And it looked a little bit strange to have Sunday school $1, cheese for Christ $1. We did it per week, see. Now, the thing about it is, when Cheese for Christ was over, it was Christmas for Christ. We just went Christmas for Christ. And then, when that was over, we went Mother's Memorial. And we started doing that. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable what God can do. Received a call from Methodist Hospital. There's no longer a Methodist Hospital. I think merged with merit or whatever, but they said, you know, you got a bill here and it needs to be paid. Do you mind if we negotiate with Gunderson, I think it's Gunderson in La Crosse? And what we'll do, we'll settle for a whole lot less. I said, well, tell me what you're talking about. Well, they called me back, and I couldn't believe how much they knocked off the medical bill. Then I got a call from my former boss man over in La Crosse, and he said, I got a house here that you started, and it needs to be finished because we have it sold. And I said, I can come finish it. I went over there, didn't have the money to stay in a motel or anything. You know where I stayed? Stayed in that house. You know what I did? I worked all day, into the night, take a little nap, get up, 3 days' time. I trimmed that house out, had it all ready. When he came out there, he paid me a check that almost took care of the whole medical bill. Came back home, slept a week. No, I'm just joking about that. Came back home, and the board had gotten together in the church, and they'd taken an offering, and I took the money down and gave it to St. Mary's, and they settled up with the hospital in La Crosse and had that all paid for. Why? Because I believe that God could be trusted with my life. And it wasn't long until Sister Grant and I were totally out of debt. And we've lived most of our adult life out of debt. People ask me, now, Brother Grant, you say that, but how can you live most of your life out of debt? I said, because I don't make enough money to stay in debt. Boy, it costs a lot of money. You think about all the interest you pay and everything. So if you need a new sofa, you know how you get it? You save up for it. That's how you do it. You pay cash. Not only that, if you pay cash, you get a better deal, usually. So tonight we want to talk about, can God be trusted with my life? Lately, a lot has been said behind the pulpit about choices and decisions. And I have really enjoyed the preaching of the different ministers that have stood behind the pulpit. I've always told people that come in for counseling, now all I can do is to give you enough information for you to make the right decision. But it's left up to you. Now, we know that God answers prayer. Jeremiah 33:3. I have a lot of scriptures, but there's a part of this that I want to spend more time on. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then we believe that God can and will supply all of our needs. Now, I just read Proverbs 3, 5 through 10, but Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According to his riches in glory. A city where the gates are pearl, the walls are jasper, and the streets are made of gold. Wow. That's the kind of riches that are in heaven. You know, you go over to M&I Bank, and that's where our church does their banking. Sister Grant and I, you know, we're kind of in the rut type people. Would you believe that this very same bank account that we started out with 40-something years ago, we still have it. It was Monona Grove and then Valley Bank and then M&I and then now BMO. I was trying to think what BMO meant, but Bank of Ontario, I think. At any rate, I just gave a check Friday. And the lady who cut my hair looked at my check and she says, "Pastor, I have never seen a personal checking account that had the number of 35,000 something checks written." I said, "My wife is a spender." Do you believe I said that? How many of you believe I said that? I didn't. I knew I'd get you on that, but you believed it, yeah. 35, she said. I said, "Well, 42 and a half years." And would you believe that I have been coming to this barbershop 42 years? Wasn't located here, and you were not the owner. We lived in two houses, one for 20 years, and now one for 22 years. Just keep the same phone number, my cell phone number. I got 30 years ago when I first had cell phones. Actually, it was a bag phone that had it in my car, you know. But can you feature me going over the bank and walking in and say, "Look, I'm running a little low this week." The banker said, "How much you need?" I said, $20. "Do you think you have it? Do you think you can spare $20? He said, "What are you saying?" BMO Harris has much more than $20. Sometimes we take our need to the Lord as if, "Boy, I don't know, God. Do you have that much to spare?" The Bible says according to his riches and glory, but you know, not only that, he owns all the gold and the silver in the world. He owns the Cadillacs on 1,000 hills. I changed that a little bit, you know. Oh my, that's our God. Now, you think that that kind of God can be trusted with my life? But how come so often we say yes, but I don't know. Oh, praise God. Now, you have to believe him, though. Do you believe that God can give you comfort in any trouble that you might have? John 14, verse 16 through 18. "And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Forever. Let's say it together. Forever. 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 "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." All right, our next scripture, verse 18. "And I will not leave you comfortless." I will come to you. And then let's read verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You glad that the Holy Ghost is a comforter? Now, the word comforter in the Greek comes from the Greek word paraclete. And it simply means one who goes alongside. Now, that simply means that when there is a funeral and the person has no strength left, a loved one has died, that the paraclete comes, the comforter comes and says, just lean on my shoulder and holds you up and walks with you. And while he is walking with you, he's also ministering to you and giving you comfort. So when you are having your greatest trouble, remember that Jesus Christ is there to give you the comfort that you need. All the time. All the time. All the time. Now, do you believe that he will be with you always, even to the end of the world? Matthew 28, verse 20, the last promise before he ascended into the heavens, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So God can be trusted with your life. What happens, however, when things go wrong between you and God? You have problems believing. You know, it's always a mysterious thing why some people, even some who are raised in the church, some people who've gone through quizzing, know all these scriptures, can just walk away and call it quits. You ever wondered about situations like that? Say they know, they know. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that knowledge alone will keep you in the faith? No. So, doctrine, all scripture is given under inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. But you know, here's the thing. Doctrine, while doctrine is important, I like to think of doctrine as like the bones in a person. Gives you structure, gives you stability. You know, if you took all your bones out, could you walk? No. You couldn't. You'd be like a jellyfish. You just couldn't make it, could you? And that's what doctrine does. But on the other hand, doctrine alone will not keep you in the truth. It's important, but it won't keep you in the truth. You may say, well then, Brother Grant, what is the secret to staying in the truth? Matthew 22:37. Look at this. Jesus saith unto them, they want to know what's the first and the greatest of all commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You know, here's the thing. If you do not have the relationship with God that you need, no amount of biblical doctrine will keep you in the church. So you need both doctrine and relationship. But relationship keeps you appreciating the doctrine. You look at the Bible as the Word of God, and when you read it, it's like reading a letter from God. There's a certain intimacy found. And there are times when I'm reading, I don't understand what I'm reading. It's like Jesus walks up beside me and looks over my back, looks down and said, "Look, I'll help you with this. Just keep reading. I'll help you. You'll understand this." And all of a sudden, the light comes on. I see this. But we have to love the Lord with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, with everything that we have. Now, Galatians 5, 22 through 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is the character of God. Character is what you are. So when people are talking about, man, he's a great man of character, that simply means the components that make this man is character. And that's why he acts the way he does and looks the way he does and speaks the way he does. The reason why he can be nice to people who are not nice to him. Smile when people are wanting to kill him. So, the fruit of the Spirit is a character of God. It's love. You know, the Bible says God is love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. Now when it says there is no law, in other words, love all you want to love. There's no law against loving too much. There's no law against meekness. Just as much as you. Now, when you look at all of the character of God, now there are other things too that we could put in here. The word holy simply means complete. It does mean pure, but it also means complete. Now, what do we mean by complete? In other words, all of the attributes of God, when they all add up, the sum total is God is holy. 1 Peter 1:16, he quotes scripture from Leviticus, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, when we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive all that God is. Now, that doesn't mean that you use everything that God is, but it's there. And the only way you can be holy like God is, and that is to have all of the character of God present in you. Now, let me explain something here. I have actually had people to tell me, "I have a problem with holiness." Now, how can you have a problem with holiness if you love God and you have the character of God? Can you really say that you do not like holiness and yet at the same time say, "Oh, I'm in love with Jesus"? Now, you think about what I'm saying here. Somewhere there's a missing link in the way you're putting things together. How can you say, "I have a problem with holiness," without saying, "I have a problem with God"? Amen. 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 You think about what I'm saying now. Because people come into church and they, and it seems like the people who get involved in what I call cheap grace, that is where everything's just all the grace of God, and use it as an excuse to underwrite their sin. They're the ones that are always talking about God is love, God is love, God is love. What about holiness? Well, I believe in grace. I'm not too much on this holiness thing. Can you believe that? I mean, you go back to the Garden of Eden when Eve took the apple and gave it to Adam and he ate. So I've always said the problem was not the apple on the tree, it was the pear on the ground. They saw immediately they saw they were naked. And they went and made an apron out of leaves, fig leaves. But when God came and found them, he said, step out here. Now, I'm using my imagination a little bit, but you can't say that what I'm saying is not right because Scripture bears witness. It's like God says, step out from behind that tree where you're hiding. And they did. He looked at them and said, what in the world are you wearing? Well, we saw that we were naked, and so we made these. The Lord says, now, wait a minute. You had your eyes open, and sure enough, you saw you were naked, but this is not going to work. Come follow me. And God went and slew an animal, skinned it, and covered their bodies. So you talk about now, oh my, isn't this beautiful weather? Now let me tell you a secret about this. I got this inside thing with God. This, from last Monday until now, this was my time to choose the weather. So this is what I chose. Now next week's not my time. But let me tell you something. As soon as it gets to be 70 degrees, people start pulling their clothes off. I'm telling you. It's amazing, you know. You go around the beaches and places and it's unbelievable. You know. Sister Grant and I went to Hawaii. The district sent us there when I retired from superintendent, and we stayed right down by Waikiki Beach. Well, before we went over there, we got literature from the travel agent, and it shows all these people laying out there. So Charlie, Sister Grant's brother, said, just take this little jar. He had a little jar. He said, just bring me back some sand from Waikiki Beach. He said, I've heard so much about it. So we're up in this big hotel about 20 stories up, and you could look out across the Pacific Ocean and see the ships and everything. We walk down there, and we walk out, and I look around. I said, look at this brochure. Showed it. Sister Grant said, what of it? I said, compare all of these models. To these people laying out here in Waikiki Beach. I never saw so many obese people. Oh, my. You know, I'm not making fun of you if you're obese, but I might if I saw you in a bikini. Unbelievable, the way they dress. I said, man, there's no shame at all. Oh, my, my, my. What was I talking about? So the Lord called them from behind this bush where they were hiding and said, look, these fig leaves are not going to work. And I want you to come go with me. And he killed an animal, sacrificed, made a sacrifice for their sin, and covered them with coats of skin. Now, do you think that God is not interested in what you wear? Don't anybody tell me that. You know, and what would you think if Pastor Grant drove up to church, prayer meeting? I stepped out and I had a pair of shorts on. Came in here, knock-kneed, hairy legs, sitting up there praying. And now, you know, this has been pushed on us, this unisex thing and homosexuality and everything. And I know I've had ladies to tell me, said, well, you know, you say I shouldn't dress like a man, but I said, well, look, what would you think if you came in here and I had pair of pantyhose on and a skirt. Now you think about that, you know. I can't even feature what that would feel like. And the whole problem with all of this is that we look at God and feel that God cannot be trusted with our lives. God can be trusted with your life. You can live a life of holiness. You can have a relationship with God. A relationship that will keep you in the church. Listen, there's one thing for sure. I'm a lot closer to the end than I was when I first came here. Several people have talked with me. I said, well, one thing I want you to know, I am not afraid to die. Whenever it comes my turn, my time, I'm not afraid to die. Because I'm living in all the light that I know to live in. And I have been obedient to God as much as I know how. And I have no regrets in serving him. I feel I'm ready to go. I feel I'm ready to go. And I don't know what it's going to be like to go to heaven and go up to the Master. I don't know what it's like to hear him someday say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But I want to hear it. I say, I want to hear it. Oh, God. Let's just lift our hands and praise the Lord for a minute. Let's get our music personnel up. You need to make a decision tonight to build a lasting relationship with God. Nothing or nobody's going to take me out of the church or out of the hand of God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Because God can be trusted with my life. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. That's it. Lift your hands and praise the Lord, would you? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's all stand with you. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. You need to make a decision tonight to build a lasting relationship with God. If you've never built a relationship, if you've never started it, you need to be born again tonight. You can repent of your sins. Be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. If you just step right out and come on down to the front, right here on the right side, if you need the Holy Ghost, come on. Then if you have problems you've been dealing with, you just don't know what to do about it, just come and stand in front of the pulpit here. If you need a healing, been sick in your body, come over here and stand. Come on right now. Come on, all over the building. Come on down to the front. Hallelujah. That's it. Come on down to the front. God is so good. God is so good. That's it. Come on down. Hallelujah.